The power of prayer. Every minute, thousands of prayers rise up from the earth. These prayers vary from habitual prayer, said at the beginning and the end of a meal, when going to bed and at daybreak, to prayers out of distress, rising up from anxiety, worry, and fear for a future or present fate. Perhaps now that we reflect on it, prayer for us or someone we know is a habitual activity. This is often transmitted from one generation to the next and based on a certain natural respect for something higher, whether such a prayer is said privately or organized in spaces designed for it or in the open air. However, prayers are also and often said when the human being is in distress, in a way from a place of fear, for preservation of life, for themselves or for their beloved ones. It is remarkable that a human being in distress appeals to a higher power, even if he is not a believer. He appeals to God. He expects help from outside. He knows, therefore, that he himself is unable to turn the tide. Yet it shows that the human being is, in spite of all possible denial, sensitive to and essentially also approachable by what is still hidden. At moments of extraordinary anxiety, worry or grief, human beings no longer use their so-called rational intellect, but from within grasp at a straw. And that something is of a higher order, something or someone that might save him from his dire position. The most popular prayer of someone in distress is, O God, save me from this crisis. Perhaps the hidden idea behind it is, then I can continue with the things I was occupied with. This is not a deliberate nonchalance, but it is the way things usually work. So, ask yourself, why do you pray? Is it out of habit? Perhaps this is what your parents taught you. Perhaps you give thanks for all that you have received. Or maybe you hope to create a connection with the bearded man above, trying to get on his good side, trying to receive grace. Jokes apart, dear friends, we are not calling out anyone here. We are not looking down on the masses, nor on any individual. No, we are reflecting on what we personally do when we pray, whether you are a normal person or the wisest of men. Why do you pray? What is at the very root of your prayers? To whom or to what we direct our prayers? Because in a way, how you pray tells you who you are. The aim and the purpose of our prayers define very much the outcome, but not quite as we expect it.
Generally speaking, we can perhaps draw four motives that stimulate people to maintain their earthly nature: love, wealth, power, and honor, or matters derived from them. Someone can be driven by love for everything belonging to them in several ways. The person may long for wealth, so that he or she can live a carefree life. He may also want to exercise power and attach great value to honor. In order to achieve all of that, he then asks for God's blessing. But in that way, two warring nations can have their weapons and men blessed by the same church. Also, during sports events, quick prayers are said and signs of the cross are made. People who have to perform often feel that they can't manage on their own and are deepening or are depending on the goodwill and blessing from above. Then they draw strength from habitual rituals and receive support. As above, so below. In other words, what we get corresponds to what we give out. As per the law of resonance, we attract etheric and astral energy according to our vibrational state, according to our own consciousness. If we recognize how fundamental this reality is, and friends, we could well be speaking about the law of karma here, we can then understand why ordinary prayer that follows our very human patterns of thought, of reaction to fear, anxiety, habits, it can only bind us further to a vicious cycle of harsh experiences and suffering. In other words, as long as we pray out of the motives that are rooted in our egocentric consciousness, as lofty and sublime as they may appear, the result will always be another spin at the wheel of samsara. We keep engaging in the exact cycle of actions and reactions that caused the state of life that brought us to pray in the first place. We read an extract from the book The Chinese Gnosis, Chapter 23, by Jan van Reykenborg, one of the founders of the Golden Rosicross. Every human being possesses an individual astral type, a personal astral key. This key is expressed in every aspect of his being, and is present not only within him, but also around him. On this factor rests the whole nature and quality of a person's breathing. By this, we mean to say that even though we all live in the same respiration field, in the same atmosphere, each of us still possesses a highly individual personal respiration field, which is formed and prepared by our personal astral condition. So, with every breath we take, both the head and the heart will function in a way determined by our astral condition at that moment. In this way, life really does arise from breath, in more than one sense. From our breath arise not only our mental activities, but also our desires. There is an inner astral basis which arises via the chakras, and there is an outer astral activity which connects with the inner astral basis via the breath. Whenever a thought is produced by the brain or a desire is born in the heart, these emanate from the head and heart and project themselves into the astral substance which surrounds us on all sides, in the same way as a fish is surrounded by water. These projections are then reflected back, and in this way, our fundamental astral nature, our respiration field, and our breath, as well as our thought life and desire life, are kept within a certain framework. Friends, it is exactly this framework that defines the quality, the nature of our prayer. We cannot escape this. But we can become conscious of this and of both the bindings and the consequences that this creates. As humanity, over centuries and millennia, we have created etheric and astral projections, entities that feed on our thoughts, emotions, on our vital energy. By consciously directing this energy, imprinting it into certain semantic formulas, we have imbued a power in these formulas, in these mantras, in these prayers. It is in this way that millions of human beings are being enslaved in a self-feeding system of creating and vivifying astral projections that have become true gods in themselves and that we keep feeding. So, at this point, we ask, is there a different way of praying? Is the power of prayer only a dark magic that keeps human beings bound to the illusion of natural religion, to the wheel of suffering, of life and death? We read again from the book The Chinese Gnosis by Jan van Rijkenburg. To the ancient sages, prayer and fasting meant focusing one's whole state of life on the other realm, the land of the Father. It meant setting free the kingdom within you and bringing every action of your will into harmony with that aim. It meant no longer listening with your ears to the cacophony of the antithesis, but opening yourself with your whole mind, your whole head sanctuary, to the influx of the Seven Spirit. The ancient sages said, leave the hearing of the ears to the ears. Leave the work of the mind to the mind. When the soul is still and without images, it will be open to receive. Into the open soul, Tao, the Seven Spirit, can descend. That is prayer and fasting. Friends, we are directed here to the dual nature of the human being, to the other realm, which is within ourselves. It lies within us as a possibility, as a single atom, as a minuscule seed of divinity in the human heart, which pushes through the cracks of our turbulent life for us to hear its voice, its call. This gate to oneness is where the prayer of the ancient, as described, was directed at. Not an outer authority to which delegating our salvation, a god in the sky that can solve problems that we ourselves, as humanity, have created through a fundamental disconnection with the oneness. But a new source of unlimited consciousness in ourselves, a spark of the Divine Spirit. Becoming aware of the activity of the spirit spark atom, responding to its call, to its vibratory activity, can take us to the realization that there is something that goes well beyond survival, well beyond well-being, wealth, health, beyond the assertion of the I or the we, my family, my nation, over them over there. We perhaps start seeing the causes of our actions, the roots of the suffering, not in others, but in ourselves. In that context, our perspective to life, to the encounters, to the positive situations and the negative misadventures start shifting. Not victims of fate anymore, but students of life, pupils ready to learn our lessons and take the next event as an opportunity to learn. Then, through a process of complete revolutionary inner transformation, by walking the path, we slowly tune our whole activity, our whole being, our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, and our behaviors to the voice of the silence arising from the spirit spark atom. Like Siddhartha sitting by the river and listening to its voice, we start paying attention to the stream of life and our whole consciousness with all its movements, all our breaths, all our heartbeats follow the rhythm of the divine vibrations that create the all manifestation. The word that was in the beginning, in and from the oneness, the Om.
The Christ offered humanity a prayer by which all aspects in a human being could answer their true destination and the link with the origin could be restored. The introduction of this prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, attunes the consciousness to the universal source, the father-mother source and power of all life. From that source stems the spark in the heart that calls, helps, guides, and saves a human being. The addition, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory unto eternity. Amen. Is the acknowledgement that this is the goal of all striving and desiring. Here we pray for the healing and purification of all vehicles. Give us this day our daily bread is the prayer for nourishment of the physical body and for light for the developing spirit soul human being. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors refers to the vital body in which all experiences are recorded as in a memorial book. Also, the sum of all experiences from all lives in the microcosm are expressed in it. Hence, it is a prayer to annul all karmic debts. And lead us not into temptation is the prayer for the desire body. Desiring is the powerful impulse to acting. What does a human being desire? Which choices does he make? The prayer for the thinking faculty is, but deliver us from evil. Make us use the undivine thinking for the true goal, learning to understand the purpose of life. This prayer, if said and understood in the right way, creates a link with the Christ Spirit. The understanding human being prays for the spiritual well-being of his whole being and that of humanity. The prayer wells up from a loving heart and not from selfishness. It is focused on the original creative power of the cosmos, and it prays for love that encompasses everything and everyone, for wealth of being in order to be able to serve from the fullness of inner possessions, for strength that enables him to remove ignorance, for honour in the sense that his life propagates God's glory through the deed. The quality and the power of prayer depend on the inner state as to consciousness, soul, and body of him who expresses it. That is why he will, with all the strength within him, live life, the true life. Hence, the pure appeal is not focused on his own self, but arises from complete surrender to the divine command. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We might wonder, do such people exist? And what kind of people are they? What should I imagine with regard to them? The answer might be, they are people who quietly go their way almost unnoticed. Whoever is going to work with the light will not be noticed. He always wears the robes of the country he works in, as is stated in the call of the Brotherhood of the Rosy Cross. Thus there is nothing extravagant or unusual in his behaviour or appearance. His broadened and sharply observant view, however, will fathom many situations, and by understanding and the right action, he will be able to steer much in a favourable direction. His cheerful mind can solve heavy and irrelevant impediments in a light, even humorous way, so that the sun is going to shine again and the atmosphere is lightened. That is a blessing for his environment. He releases light power because he unconditionally maintains the link with the inner, the soul, in perfect directedness. That is why the true prayer is not a collection of sacred words, but the result of an absolutely revolutionary but non-violent mode of life. Prayer is working. Working in pure attunement with the Gnostic radiations that accompany humanity and impel the human being towards a true spiritual rebirth. We are all called to become such a person. We are all called to freedom. It is from this freedom that we pronounce with all our being, not my will, but your will, be done. Will you join us?